Chapter 8.
Voss had thought Ventress had been teasing him with the whole run faster, fight harder, you need training bit. So when within the first hour of their partnership, she handed him a list of running times to beat, weights to lift, and insisted on a regimen of daily hand-to-hand combat with her, he'd laughed out loud.
You're taking the joke too far, he said, tossing the pad back to her.
She caught it and threw it back.
I seldom joke.
Voss peered at her.
I thought my audition with Morrigai went pretty well.
It did. That's why I agreed to take you on at all. But you've got a few things to learn before you're ready to play the part.
He did not like her choice of words, as they hit too close to the truth. Voss had been careful not to use the force around her, but he had been in physical training since he could walk. Was Ventress attempting to assert herself over him, as Kenobi had warned she might? Or did she really just not see how good he was?
Or did she already suspect that he was a Jedi?
I'm fine, thanks, he said.
Ventress folded her slender arms. Tell you what, if you can knock me out, you can skip the extra training.
Oh, there is no way this is going to end well. I don't like hitting a woman.
Then every woman you fight is going to win. An enemy is an enemy, Voss, regardless of size, species, or sex.
There was no getting out of it. While the Banshee bore them through hyperspace, they went down into the cargo hold.
Voss limbered up, cracked his neck, and while he was settling into position,
she sprang. He darted to the right, his hand closing on her ankle. Deftly, she twisted in midair. Voss almost dodged her other foot as it descended onto his face, but reminded himself to be slower than usual and not use the force. He did, however, turn his head so her kick struck his cheek and not his nose. His stumble was exaggerated, but the grunt of pain was not. Ventress let him catch his breath, and they circled.
Quick reaction, grabbing my foot,
she said grudgingly. Inwardly, he grimaced that it hadn't escaped her notice. Kenobi had said she was sharp. He smirked, hoping he looked overconfident.
See? I'm better than you thought.
He blocked the lightning-fast punch, but pulled his own. This was turning out to be more challenging than he'd expected. How hard was too hard to punch her? Should he really try to knock her out? While Voss was pondering, drawing his fist back for another blow, Ventress seized his other arm and pulled. Voss decided to let the whole mess conclude and permitted himself to be thrown. Honestly, he had to admit, it wasn't that hard. Ventress was unobtrusively using the force. An ordinary opponent would never have noticed it. He landed on the hard metal of the cargo floor, and her knee was on his throat. Ventress rolled her eyes, then extended a hand to haul him to his feet.
I guess I don't get to skip the extra training,
Voss said, massaging his throat.
You performed better than expected,
was her reply. She picked up the pad with her instructions and tossed it to him.
But you can do better.
So now, Quinlan Voss, Jedi Master, was once again in training. After the first few sessions, he found himself actually glad of it. Not only did Ventress fight dirty and ruthlessly, but she fought extraordinarily well. He'd seen a lot of it in their first hunt together, but that had only been the tip of the iceberg. Voss supposed it was only to be expected from someone trained by Count Dooku. He had wondered how it was that both Kenobi, a superb fighter, and Anakin, who was also excellent, though a bit reckless, had been unable to take her down. Now, he understood. Voss made a point of utilizing the moves she had taught him on their next couple of hunts, so she'd see how much he'd learned. The jobs were not particularly interesting in and of themselves. The usual routine of one rotten underworld Sleemo putting a bounty out on another rotten underworld Sleemo. Still, Voss discovered that hunting alongside Ventress, and showing her all the things he had learned, was a great deal of fun. There had only been one time when he'd come close to blowing his cover. They'd been after a bounty, chasing him through the dark, dangerous, and very dirty streets of Coruscant's level 1313 when they'd been ambushed. Well, Ventress maintained they'd been ambushed. Voss privately wondered if some of the denizens of the area were just bored that night. It wasn't so much that their attackers were excellent fighters, but that there were simply so many swarming out of the shadowy corners. Voss and Ventress had their hands full, and at one point, Voss had noticed that a leathery-faced Weequay, whom Ventress thought she'd eliminated, had woken up and was training a blaster on her. Voss had no choice. He used the force to knock the weapon out of the Weequay's hand, simultaneously leaping to close the distance between himself and the attacker. When Ventress turned around, Voss was in close enough proximity to later claim that he'd kicked the blaster away. Ventress had looked at him narrowly, but she made certain this time that the Weequay was dead and had not asked Voss about it again. Since then, she had repaid the favor more than once. Voss was alternating between handstand push-ups and one-hand balancing, focusing on not using the force, when he heard the ramp go up. He didn't stop his workout as he called,
"Hey, got anything for us yet?"
She came into view, upside down from his perspective, and peered at him critically.
"I might," she said. "Let's try this with a little bit more weight."
She grasped his feet and began to transfer her weight to her hands, bending her knees and leaning into the movement.
He grunted, his legs quivering.
"Oh, come on. I'm not putting that much weight on you. Keep going."
He said, but obeyed, still not using the force.
Ventress grinned wickedly down at him, her short tuft of blonde hair falling slightly into her face.
"We'll be working with pirates," she said.
"With them?" he grunted, managing another push-up.
"Is that wise?"
"I've worked with this one before. She's got her own code of honor, and nothing in the galaxy can help you if you violate it."
Ventress put more of her weight into her hands. If Voss had been able to use the force, she could have done handstands of her own on his feet. But of course, he had to use muscles alone. His arms were burning as he dipped again.
"She..."
"Don't tell me you've never heard of Lasaraim."
"Nope."
"The Bloodbone Order?"
"Oh, them I've heard of. So that's Raim's crew?"
"It is. It's very egalitarian. She was voted into the position, and can be voted out at any time. No one has so far, nor is likely to."
Abruptly, Ventress put almost all her weight on his feet for a moment. Voss made a choking sound.
"Keep going,"
she instructed, but eased off. For the moment.
"She divides everything into equal shares. No cheating among the crew. No fighting on the ship. They'll follow her anywhere."
"No desertions allowed, I take it."
"On the contrary. Anyone's free to leave, but most know a good thing when they see it. Our quarry, shall we say, left on a bad note."
Again, she increased her weight.
Oh, Ventress!
"Her first mate, literally and figuratively, ran away 3 days ago with Raim's last intended target."
"The Hall?"
"The Hall and the heiress they intended to take it from."
"I see. Ventress!"
"Captain Raim is taking this all very personally. So much so that there's quite a lucrative bounty on his head."
Ventress appeared ignorant of Voss's imminent collapse.
"What will happen to him?"
"Even I don't particularly care to find out. Think pirate justice combined with jilted lover."
"I get the picture. Ventress, you really should..."
She let go, but not without yanking on his foot first. With a yelp, Voss collapsed into a heap.
"Ouch,"
he said.
Better do a few more.
You just like watching me, he said, untangling himself.
Never said I didn't, she replied.
You could do more than watch, he said, and winked. For a terrible moment, she didn't reply, and he thought she was calling his bluff. Then she rolled her eyes.
Since you brought it up, it's time I familiarize you with a new strategy. It's an easy one. This former lover of Rames has an eye for women, so we bait him.
It took Voss a second to figure out what she meant.
You mean you?
As soon as he'd said it, he realized it could have sounded like an insult, which was not at all what he'd meant. Fortunately, Ventress appeared to let it slide.
I have two approaches I like to employ, she continued. The subtle one I call the nod and the wink. That's for the more sophisticated target, or one who wants to be discreet. The other's the full-on gambit, which is an obvious invitation. I've always been more than able to handle them alone, but with this approach, having a partner will make it even easier.
Gotcha, he said, nodding.
Ventress eyed him thoughtfully.
You have no idea what I'm talking about, do you?
Voss scoffed.
Course I do. Hey, I bet I'd be great at this kind of thing, he said with feigned casualness.
A smile played on her full lips.
You think so?
Sure I do.
All right. Let's give it a shot, then.
Uh-oh, Voss thought, as a sense of panic rose in him. It was one thing to verbally flirt. What Ventress was proposing was entirely different.
First, the nod and the wink.
Ventress shifted her weight so one hip was slightly higher than the other. Casually, she ran a hand down her waist, along her thigh, then looked up at him from under her lock of blonde hair. Her lips curving in a smile, she gave him a barely perceptible nod and closed one blue eye in a wink.
Now you try, she said, dropping the seductress pose like a cloak.
It was again the Ventress he knew standing before him.
I surrender, he said, putting his hands up. His cheeks were hot.
He thought he would rather face a session with a torture droid than attempt what she had so easily demonstrated.
I can't top that.
You haven't seen the full-on gambit yet.
Don't have to.
She laughed and patted his cheek, offering him a genuine smile.
Your virtue is safe with me. Your discomfort is rather charming, actually. But I'm sure you'll get over it.
He had no response to her first comment, and said instead,
I'll let you handle this, if you really think it's necessary.
For this one? Absolutely. A good bounty hunter uses whatever tools best suit the job. Sometimes it's a lightsaber, sometimes it's a sucker punch, and sometimes it's a nod and a wink. The idea is to catch our bounty effectively and in a timely manner, without unnecessary complications. Trust me, in this case, it's the perfect strategy.
They got the mark in 15 minutes flat. Ventress didn't even have to use the full-on gambit. Ventress settled into the cockpit, with Voss in the seat behind her, and she found herself smiling. This mission had been an unqualified success. The bounty had been hefty, and having Lhasa Rame's gratitude was no small thing. Voss had given up on his overdone persona, which was a blessing, and had relaxed into someone who was actually naturally appealing. She was glad he'd pushed his way into a partnership with her. Not once had he given her cause to regret her decision. Theirs was a relationship that was unique in her experience. Before, the roles of both parties had been clearly defined as master and servant. Sometimes, as with her Jedi Master Kai Narek and Count Dooku, she had been the servant, the apprentice. In her early years, she had quite literally been a slave. When Savage Opress, The Zabrak Night Brother, whom she had shaped, used Night Sister Dark Side magics in order to destroy Dooku. She had been the undisputed master. The hallmarks of all those interactions had been discipline and gravity. Voss was quite possibly the least serious person she'd ever met, except when he needed to be. He made her laugh, and she couldn't remember laughing since her time with Kai Narek. There was an ease in Voss's company she'd never found with anyone before, not even with the Night Sisters, and she realized she liked it. It wouldn't last forever. None of her relationships did. But for now, Ventress decided she would enjoy the ride.
"Hey," said Voss in the seat behind her. "I just realized something."
"What's that?"
Ventress plotted a course and entered the coordinates. A second later, the stars turned into long, bright streaks, and then they were in the blue and white hyperspace lane.
"It's our anniversary."
She peered around her chair at him.
"What?"
"Well, not an anniversary, I suppose," he continued, "because it's not a certain amount of time we're celebrating. But we have just successfully, wildly successfully, I might add, completed our fifth mission together. So it's that kind of anniversary. What's that sort of thing called, anyway?"
"I don't know, and I don't care," Ventress replied. "We need to line up our next job."
She settled back into her seat and suited task to word, calling up the current list of bounties on a small screen.
"Do you ever take your mind off the job? You know, relax a little?"
"I have a term for people who relax."
"Oh, what's that?"
She clicked a few more bounty subjects.
"Dead."
"You are so much fun," Voss said.
"I know."
"Oh, come on,"
Voss said. He stepped around to her chair, leaning on the back of it.
"Your friend Raim gave us a bottle of aged Tavrocki whiskey. Let's crack it open. We won't be ready to do anything till tomorrow at the earliest, and we're in hyperspace."
Ventress sighed.
"You go ahead if you want."
"No deal.
We're partners.
Split down the middle."
"I'd forgotten how persistent you were,"
she said, rising.
"All right."
There wasn't much extra space aboard the Banshee. Only two small cabins, a shared head, a tiny galley, and the cargo hold. They sat on the hard metal floor of the hold, opened the bottle, and Voss poured them each a shot.
"To the next hunt,"
Ventress said.
"To partnership,"
Voss replied, and they drank.
The liquor burned like sweet fire, coating the tongue and sending warmth all through Ventress's limbs.
It was far too easy to drink, and Ventress knew she'd have to be careful. She never drank to get drunk.
Voss's eyes widened. "Your friends have good taste," he said,
his tone slightly tinged with awe.
"Please let Captain Raim know that if she ever wants to hire us again, we'll be there."
Ventress chuckled a little and took another sip, while Voss poured himself another shot. Normally, they dissected a hunt afterward, discussing what had worked, what hadn't, and what they might have done differently. This time, though, all had gone so smoothly, there was nothing to criticize. So instead, Voss asked her about some of the weapons they were considering purchasing, and moves he'd seen her do. Ventress tensed slightly when he inquired about the lightsaber. By this point, her partner was a trifle worse, or better, for the alcohol, and she suspected it was making him less cautious. He'd never asked about her lightsaber before.
"I thought only Jedi used them,"
he said.
"You thought wrong. You can find them on the black market easily enough. I would have thought you'd know that."
"Don't need to trade in the black market," he said.
He waved a hand, indicating their Stark vessel.
"A simple existence is ours."
He slurred his words slightly, drained his glass, and reached for the bottle.
"You spill a single drop of that, it comes out of your pay,"
Ventress warned. He laughed.
"So,"
he continued, pouring with great focus,
You got it on the black market. Who trained you?
It's a sword. I know how to use swords.
It wasn't exactly a lie. Voss stretched out on his back, using one arm for a pillow and propping the shot on his chest with the other. His gaze, as he regarded her, looked slightly unfocused. Ventress turned the tables.
What about you, Voss? What's your story?
She was expecting some kind of wisecrack. Instead, Voss looked as if he had no idea how to answer. He turned his head, gazing up at nothing.
You know,
he said, his voice slightly slurred and touched with surprise.
I don't think I have a story.
Everyone has a story,
Ventress pressed, curious now. He raised his head, drained the glass, and set it down.
Not me. I mean, I've done things, seen things. Things have happened to me, but I don't think I have a story.
This had clearly never occurred to him. He seemed to be almost reeling from the revelation. Ventress wondered if it was the alcohol talking, or if Voss really did feel as lost as he sounded.
What about you?
He asked.
What's your story? Or do you not have one either?
Oh, I have a story, all right,
Ventress said.
Quite a lot of stories, actually.
The story of a girl given into slavery. Of a Jedi Padawan. Of a Dark Master's apprentice.
Of a Night Sister. But none of them end well.
She frowned into her glass. Maybe the delicious liquor was having an effect on her, too. She was seldom maudlin, and she didn't like it.
I wonder,
Voss mused, turning again to look at her.
What's worse, to have unhappy stories, or to have no story at all?
Tonight's story ends with sleep.
Ventress was done. She got to her feet. Voss didn't emulate her right away.
Voss, can you get up?
Yep,
he assured her.
Are you lying?
Maybe.
Voss had permitted Ventress to help him to the door of his cabin, where she told him he'd better not have a hangover in the morning. He assured her he wouldn't, which was the truth, because he wasn't drunk. It had been a necessity in undercover work to develop a strong tolerance for alcohol in order to blend in. The exquisite liquor so generously given to them by a pirate captain was strong, but nothing he couldn't handle. He had exaggerated his intoxication in the hope of getting Ventress to reveal some things about herself. It hadn't worked out quite as he'd intended. Her casual query, "What's your story, Voss?" had blindsided him in a way he couldn't possibly have imagined. Of course he couldn't tell her the truth, but her word choice, story, made him realize that he truly didn't have one. He had a series of events from his life that he could relate, but somehow they were never about him, never his stories, simply things he'd done. The distinction was subtle. So subtle he'd never even thought about it. Maybe it was the alcohol. Maybe it was the time he'd spent in Ventress's company, working as a team. But the realization shook him. So Voss had said exactly what had sprung into his mind, and then attempted to refocus attention on Ventress. For the second time that evening, he got a shock. He was willing to bet 1,000,000 credits that Ventress, too, had replied honestly. And her answer had surprised and shaken her, just as Voss's answer had rattled him. He rubbed his tired eyes. He was likely reading too much into everything tonight. His belly was still pleasantly warm from the alcohol, but his thoughts were discordant. Voss stretched out on the bed, but sleep would not come right away. The words he'd spoken kept running through his brain. What's worse? To have unhappy stories, or to have no story at all? Voss had no answer.